You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Jill Kaufman, and this is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. With us today are Kristen Palpini, editor of the Valley Advocate, and Ron Chmelis, columnist with the Springfield Republican. Welcome to you both.
Hey.
Thank you.
So, big story this week, not unexpected, is that Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker signed the state budget. He vetoed $320 million in spending, and among that was about $42 million in earmarks. Ron, let's start with you. Anything important in your worldview in what Baker cut or didn't cut?
Well, they cut out the study for East-West Rail. Just a study for that is a big deal. I think it is a big deal. And I think what's bothersome, at least to me and to other people, is the secrecy in which they did it. It was done by a negotiating team behind closed doors. And if you're going to say no to something like this, you should give a reason, and it should be clear. And they didn't even do that. So I thought that was very disappointing, and I thought it was unnecessary.
And what's your take on the fact that various Senate leaders and other leaders are saying they didn't know how it happened?
Well, I think they're making Washington look efficient, and that's not an easy thing to do. I'm very disappointed with the nature of leadership as much or more as I am about the results. You have to cut things. I understand that. But there should be an explanation, and they should understand themselves. There seems to be some confusion amongst the legislature themselves exactly what's going on within their midst.
Okay, so that's the East-West Rail study. What else that was in or out?
Well, I know the Pioneer Valley Transit Association is disappointed that they're not getting what they think they need. And as someone who thinks that that sort of thing should be supported, I'm disappointed. But I really am uncomfortable nitpicking at a budget when you know there have to be cuts. I know that these choices are difficult. The rail study to me was disappointing because it had been promised in a different form and they didn't deliver.
Okay. PVTA we're going to get to in just a moment. Kristen, what's your take on what is in still and what's been cut? What's important?
Sure. So I'm with Ron. It is hard to pull it apart. The deficit is so huge. What, $750 million upwards, I think, of that? So that's nothing to laugh at. But I am heartened that the governor has kept money in for mental health services, homelessness, and disappointed there isn't more money for public education, higher education, and transportation, which if you can't get to somewhere, forget about it. So transportation really needs to be supported.
So plans to cut PVTA bus routes were significantly scaled back this week. After several public hearings and rider input, the PVTA had considered cutting up to 8 bus routes, and the new plan calls for eliminating 4 but providing alternative services for 3 of them. So that service would be reduced on another 9 routes. Now, here's the thing, Ron. The PVTA faced and still faces to some extent a big budget deficit. And the new PVTA administrator told us that the agency expanded a lot over the past few years. So what you saw happen this week, do you think it was about right-sizing the PVTA after an overexpansion? Are these cuts real and are they going to hurt a lot of people?
Well, I think the cuts are real, and it's hard for me to criticize something as massive as this. They have to make ends meet. But again, on the other hand, the people that use the PVTA in many cases have no other choice. There's not another alternative for them. Those are not the people that you want to see have to make adjustments because I don't know what they would do. I can believe that overexpansion was part of this. I can't swear to it because I'm not privy to the budget. But I can believe that they become so important and so widespread that they have to look at scaling back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And Kristen, what do you take on this? I mean, we've got a region that is both rural and urban, and the cuts were hitting around various parts of the PVTA service area.
Right. A lot of our transportation money stays in Boston, and it really needs to start making its way out here for things like supporting the PVTA. The PVTA does serve a lot of areas and areas that are hard to reach. Travel around here isn't just like a couple minutes down the street. It's 20 minutes, 15, just to get to the grocery store. So having these buses is vital for many of our residents. And I was disappointed to see that they had to make the cuts. It was nice that they listened to so many people and kept some of the routes that are more connected to jobs. This is not a step in the right direction.
Okay. I want to go back to the budget for just a moment. There is the potential for a new exit on the Mass Pike, and that's between Exit 2 in Lee, Exit 3 in Westfield. A study on the idea is in the final budget. This is Lenox State Representative Smitty Pignatelli, who is clearly in favor of the idea.
I personally think this is a game changer for the Hilltowns. I think it would provide economic activity in a very positive way.
Kristen, you've got a grin on your face. Is it needed, in your opinion? And would you use it? Do you need it?
I personally need it because I have gone past that Westdale exit too many times and had to go 60 miles down the road. You do that once and you should remember. I should have remembered. But he's right that this is going to open up more business opportunities for the Hilltown people, you know, having access to a highway. That just opens up so many more possibilities for a place that doesn't always have them.
Vaughn, what's your take on this?
Pretty much the same. This is not a new issue. This has been talked about for a long time. I too, was in a car once. I was a passenger that missed that exit, and it wasn't a pleasant ride there and back to Lee. It will open up to the Hilltowns, and it's maybe ironic or funny that it comes on the heels of Hilltowns people saying that our U.S. Representative Richard Neal doesn't visit them enough. They feel forgotten. This cannot help. This has to help the Hilltowns.
If a lawmaker gets a second house out in Western Mass, then you know they show up, right?
Absolutely.
There once upon a time was a governor. Let's jump right over to marijuana because this is a big ticket item and has been for weeks. Wednesday, lawmakers in Massachusetts, they came up with the long-awaited compromise on the bill for marijuana. It actually appears to appease most sides. The Yes on 4 committee spokesperson Jim Borgasani told WBUR in Boston he does hope that the 20% tax rate is low enough that customers won't continue to buy unregulated marijuana or won't in the future. And he said that isn't as bad as the 28% originally proposed by the House.
We wanted to start at 12% with the condition that the Cannabis Control Commission every year come to the legislature with a tax recommendation. So we always knew that the tax could go up, could go down, depending on what they're seeing in the market. We knew that a compromise was going to be something that we wouldn't be happy with everything, but we were hoping that it wouldn't be the worst end of this.
Kristen, we have just a few seconds. Lawmakers took longer than expected, but would you have put money on the fact that a compromise could have come up?
Oh, absolutely. This was going to happen, and I'm just glad we didn't get stuck with a tax rate like 32% like they're doing in Nevada and Colorado.
Ron, not a fan, you, of legalized marijuana, but does this bill begin to address any of your concerns?
I'm a fan of democracy, and this is not what the people voted for. I think it should be 12%, but I understand that it's not going to be, and so I guess it may not appease everybody, but it's a solution, and we move forward.
All right. In a week where I found the top story on my feed was the one about the woman in England with the 27 contact lenses on her eye. I am looking for your take on what was the quirky or funny story you found around New England in Massachusetts, Kristen Papini.
Oh, man. Well, this one's a little bit older than that, but a quirky story I really liked was about a month ago, a bunch of towns in the area, Palmer, Longmeadow, Belchertown, Granby, had a horses on the road protest because, you know, they feel like the horses aren't getting the share on the road. So they all got their horses, rode them. And the point was to bring attention to this kind of small town thing that maybe people think don't happen anymore, but people still ride horses to get places.
Any word on who cleaned up after the
mess? Good question.
That's a follow-up. Okay, Ron, what about yourself?
I'm afraid I might disappoint you. The best I could do was a poll came out, a national poll, that the New York Yankees were the most disliked team in baseball in the United States. And this is a national – a lot of people also like them, but the Red Sox are one of the most popular. The Yankees are unpopular because of the perception they buy and sell championships, and they have all this money and all these players. And in the past week, the Red Sox just cut ties with a player that they owe $50 million to, Pablo Sandoval. So my feeling is maybe the evil empire isn't in New York anymore. Maybe the money team is in Boston.
Ron Tremellis. Absolutely. Thank you. Mine, they were all animal stories that I found, and this is not even that great. But so North Shore of Boston, two little girls are out at the swimming pool at their grandparents' house, and one kid comes running in, or both girls go running in saying, "You know, Grandpa, there's a snake on the deck," and he just assumed it was a garter snake or a worm, and it turned out to be a python. And he didn't believe them at first until he saw it. So, and the police up that way in Salem, Massachusetts, North Shore, believe it was a pet that got out, so they're looking for the owner.
I am humbled by how much better your stories are than mine.
Oh, man. Can I tell you what I read about the Netherlands? Because I thought this was really
cool.
So in the Netherlands, they are giving out cold case calendars to all the criminals in prison. They started doing this as a pilot program, and each month has a picture of a missing person and details about the case. And the idea is that they're going to get tips. Well, so far, they've gotten 160 tips, and they're going to spread it through the whole country.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Take a tip from that. Yeah. Oh, New England law enforcement. Great. Well, thank you very much. This is adding to my week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ron Jamilis, columnist with the Springfield Republican. Kristen Palfini of the Valley Advocate, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, listeners, thank you. For joining us for The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch The Shortlist anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or by going to nepr.net/podcast. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.